Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Ooh, thanks everybody. Homegrown. Glitch-free, glitchless, full of glitches, who cares? Always entertaining. I love having Clinton here. He is my man on Sunday mornings. But now I get to be your man. Roll over, have somebody bring you breakfast. Time for Sunday morning wake-up call. Two guests today. Prepare to be fully informed about environmental things that are going on in our world that you need to know more about. And if you do know about them, prepare to be wound up so you can go share that information with other people. Barbara Adams here. She is an environmental activist. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You got to lean in and talk to that microphone.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Kirk Bowers here, Sierra Club pipeline specialist for the Virginia chapter.
Good morning, Rick. How are you today?
It's an exciting day here.
It is an exciting day. I'm glad to be here to talk about pipelines today and let everybody know what we think.
Well, remember to keep the verbiage proper.
Yes, I will.
When you let people know what you think about pipelines and you're with the Virginia chapter of the Sierra Club, remember the seven dirty words cannot be used.
Definitely.
We are going to be talking. We're going to start with the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, although, as Kirk Bowers reminded me, a lot of this information carries on to all pipelines. We also have the Mountain Valley Pipeline being built here in the state of Virginia, and I'm sure there are others, which I don't have my notes on.
There's the WB Express in Northern Virginia, and we have another three or four in West Virginia that are we're looking into also.
But the crux, the big news, and the reason that Barb is here today has to do with the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. So we're going to start with that. That will be a lot of the discussion for the day. So sit down, get comfortable. This is the Sunday morning wake-up call here on 94.7. So, Kirk, I've got a feeling from you is that you're anti-pipeline. You don't want pipelines.
We are. There's numerous reasons why we are opposed and resist pipelines in Virginia and West Virginia. And actually, there are 19 of these large diameter natural gas pipelines coming out of the Marcellus shale fields in West Virginia and Pennsylvania. So there's a huge amount of impact from these pipelines.
And Barb, you're here. You're an environmental activist and are representing a group that is putting together a lot of video projects. The Troubled Water group. Is that the proper name?
Well, almost. It's Troubled Water, Voices from Bath. That's Bath County. And we consider ourselves a megaphone for all the folks in Bath County that have been working really diligently, exhaustively about opposing the pipeline that's been proposed to come through their county.
Right. And as we were talking about earlier, when we talk about the Atlantic County Pipeline, it runs through 11 counties in the state and two cities. I think it runs through Chesapeake.
Chesapeake. It starts in Wetzel, West Virginia, and actually runs down to southern North Carolina. And halfway through, it has a 20-inch spur over to the Hampton Roads area. It's 550 miles long.
So when when Barb talks about her group from Bath County, it's all these counties. Plug in your county name because locally it runs through Nelson County. If you read a Sivo Weekly article, they talk about an organization there. We'll chat about this a little later in the hour, how that organization or a representative organization from Wintergreen trying to get the pipeline spurried over through Nelson County or through Albemarle County. So Barb is not here just talking about Bath County. Close your eyes and put Albemarle County in when she talks about some of these pictures and things. Would either of you even have this pipeline built in a different way, in a different place? Or are we just talking about no pipeline, stop all pipelines? Or is this just a bad pipeline route?
Well, I think that we're really looking at the source is fracked gas wells drilled in West Virginia, and all of the methane that is released at the well sites and the natural gas that's carried through the pipelines are issues for climate change in general, and that affects all of us short-term and long-term in a very big way. So you can put yourself, not just a county or a city, in that situation. So the pipelines are hooked very deeply to the fossil fuel industry and natural gas and those fracking issues that are many people know about already and Kirk can speak to more directly.
Well, the start at the beginning up in northwest West Virginia and western Pennsylvania, hundreds of fracking sites. And in a number of these areas, the people in the counties, and I have gotten emails and messages from them saying that their water is not fit for drinking any longer because of the contamination by the well sites, the fracking well sites. So what's going to happen is they're ramping up. The drillers are trying to recover. Right now they're in a recession. Basically everything is shut down because of the low cost of natural gas. They can't sell it for what they can drill it for. But when they start ramping up, and we expect the prices to get back up in about a year and a half, then they're going to start, they're trying to get the gas out of West Virginia to markets. And specifically, Dominion has a plan for building 5 or 6 more natural gas plants. But what happens is they are just pouring more and more CO2, greenhouse gas emissions, into the atmosphere. That we have done calculations to indicate the Atlantic Coast Pipeline alone emits an additional 42 million tons of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. Now, this affects everybody. It's not just the people around the pipelines themselves. And then you add another pipeline, the Mountain Valley Pipeline, into the equation, and it's going to emit another 56 million tons per year of CO2.
I need some sort of comparative image in my head when you just toss out numbers like that.
Yes.
it just goes in and out the ears.
Well, for example, the Chesterfield coal plant near Richmond emits approximately 7 million tons of greenhouse gases per year. So the Atlantic Coast Pipeline would emit 7 times what that plant would emit.
How does a pipeline emit
greenhouse gases?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a pipeline. It's just got stuff in it that's flowing.
Good question. It's a life cycle analysis that we have done for several of the pipelines. It includes the drilling and then the transmission and then the burning of the gas to produce electricity in the power plants. So you've got 3 parts involved in the entire process called a life cycle assessment. And so there is actually also exacerbation by the leakage of methane at the wellheads and during the transmission process in the pipelines. Compressor stations leak pretty badly. And so in addition to the greenhouse gas emissions, we have methane emissions, which are 86 times more potent than the CO2 equivalents. And that's quite a significant
So this is Sunday morning wake-up call, talking about the Atlantic Coast Pipeline as well as other pipelines in our area. Kirk Bowers, you heard him talking about some of the numbers. Sierra Club Pipeline Specialist, you can find the Virginia chapter at sierraclub.org/Virginia. We also have Barbara Adams with us today. She's an environmental activist working on a video. So tell us about, Kirk's here giving out some numbers with us, but it always helps if people can. Some people process things in different ways. There are those who want to hear the numbers and who need those things, and there are those people who want to see the pictures. Well, why is your group putting together the video, and where are you doing it? Tell me about your project.
Great. This is the Troubled Water Voices from Bath project. Is actually a three-pronged project that includes a photo exhibit, so still photography, some great photos of people, profiles and natural beauty of Bath County and how they will be affected by the pipeline, and an audio collage of clips of interviews with folks in the county and how their perspectives, their insights, and how they'll personally be affected, and then a video. So we have these three creative projects that we decided on after a lot of discussion about what really moves the hearts and minds of people, and we think visually and audially these are striking and will give a lot of information, but will capture the deeper experience of all these people and what's happening. I want to go back to what you said, Rick, about kind of where people are and kind of remote and how it's affecting people directly. This pipeline was first introduced in September of 2014, but the folks in Bath County were only just told about the pipeline rerouted through their county in February of this year. And until that time, many of the folks there will tell you that the whole pipeline issue was sort of off their radar. They were living their lives. Everybody's busy. Nelson County, the other counties further down have been affected and were fighting this a lot longer earlier. So when it became proposed for Bath County, people were shocked and didn't really know what to do and hadn't really figured out why this pipeline, how it's going to affect them, what's going to happen. And so they quickly got organized and formed a number of organizations that really have been very effective in this short period of time. So when you talk about people not understanding, Bath County people can tell you that they feel really bad that they sort of missed out on the other counties that were affected first, but now are joining the fight with everyone else and really working diligently.
It is 11:13 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call, 94.7. The progressive voice of Charlottesville, as we're talking about progressive things such as get rid of the pipelines. That's what we're talking about today. The Atlantic Coast Pipeline, Kirk Bowers from the Sierra Club, Barbara Adams, an environmental activist. Barbara, I want to go back to to your group. Bath County, is that just because you know it's the county that just found out about the pipeline? Is it because it's your organization thinks it's the most beautiful county in the state and will be the most harmed? Why is it Troubled Waters Friends of Bath County and not Troubled Waters Friends of, Goochland County why that organization? Yeah. Why that name?
That's a great question. There are some really wonderful projects, art projects and video projects that other people in other counties affected have done, and we really support those. This is a very personal kind of experience for me because a good friend and his wife had moved to Bath County not long ago. And when they first got their letter that the pipeline was coming through Little Valley, where they live, they called me up and asked for my advice. And my living in Richmond, I volunteer with lots of environmental organizations and had been working on pipeline issues, long before. So I was able to just give connections and do that. But Lee Brower is a professional photographer. So we quickly talked about moving it towards a more creative process that, again, would give visuals to all of the information people are doing. So Lee and I talked about first this photo exhibit, and then there are so many stories that he told me about. And he said people have amazing histories and perspectives. They're very insightful. They know their land really well. Many people have been in Bath County for generations, some people 10 and 12 generations. You don't find that in other parts of Virginia. So there are some unique aspects from a personal sociological point of view. And then we went to an audio collage, and then I met some students, Virginia Student Environmental Coalition activists, and talked to them about this project. And they're interested in film, so they said, can we do a film? So we're doing a film. So we believe that all of those really will capture in different ways lots of personal perspectives and are unique. And Bath County has some very unique aspects to it as well. I think every county has their own unique aspects, and everyone affected and every county affected has the right and kind of needs the platform to share what those are. So this project is to share about Bath County, but we support everyone affected.
You have a Facebook page, right?
Yes.
Which is?
Troubled Water, Voices from Bath.
Is the project the going up there?
It is. We will at the in the future. We're still working on we have photos, and we have the trailer for the video up right now. We'll have more and more as time goes on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, Atlantic Coast Pipeline is the majority of the discussion today. It's Barbara Adams. She's an environmental activist. We also have Kirk Bowers here, Sierra Club, from the Virginia chapter. Kirk, a couple questions for you.
To that, can I add just a little bit to what Barbara was talking about on the personal issues with the people impacted by the pipelines? I have seen people in 16 counties in Virginia and West Virginia just rise up, basically, when they heard the news that their counties were going to be impacted by pipelines. And there's numerous reasons why, but I think probably the most significant is some of the personal letters I've read from people who have sent letters to me or to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and one in particular from Cucumber Creek in West Virginia. And a lady had lived there. She bought her home in 1939, and it's the only place she's lived all her life. And she shares that property with her horses and the salamanders. And the creek is called Cucumber Creek. And she was extremely upset that in the letter that her property was being taken away from her. And that was all she had known all her life. And I see that a lot across a lot of the areas that are being impacted by these pipelines. And people just don't want their properties taken away. And it's a very personal fight. And for me, I came from Southwest Virginia. The Mountain Valley Pipeline passes through my home area. And so I can relate quite a bit to the personal aspects. I think that's the most tragic part of all this.
You know what? Let's do that. We're going to take a break. It's 11:19. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about eminent domain and having your property infringed upon. Be right back. And thank you for listening today. The Atlantic Coast Pipeline is our discussion as we talk with Barbara Adams and Kirk Bowers. It is a sunny day out there. It continues to be sunny, but it's also going to be sweaty. So if you go outside, remember that. It is the Sunday morning wake-up call. This is 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We are being progressive, being environmentalist, talking about what to do when you get a pipeline in your way that you don't want. So let's talk about eminent domain, because, Kirk, you were mentioning how the woman in West Virginia wasn't happy with her creek being taken away from her. So I don't know that that's exactly exactly what eminent domain is all about in that situation, but eminent domain with who's best between the two of you to define eminent domain?
The process is that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission will review and approve the applications for certification and public convenience. And then if they approve those permits, then they can authorize the taking of private property from property owners who do not want their property taken or used for a pipeline. There's been a lot of people in a number of the counties who have resisted, who have said, no, we don't want the pipeline. We are not going to let the surveyors onto our properties, and that's it. And in fact, there's also been lawsuits filed against the state to stop the surveys. In West Virginia, they were able to stop the surveys because the surveys are what leads up to the pipelines. They've got to survey everything before they can do the approval process.
So, well, I know that in Nelson County, anyway, at least locally, that they had over 20, they have two dozen folks who denied access to the Dominion-related surveyors to come onto their property.
That's correct.
And then Dominion said that they were following the process, but they had the right to come on anyway.
There's some controversy over that because the letter of the law was not being followed. They were showing up without being announced or telling people, the property owners, when they were coming. And actually down in Roanoke County for the Mountain Valley Pipeline, they have what's called posses that run around the roads and the counties looking for surveyors so they can stop them from coming onto properties, because these surveyors are actually coming onto properties when people are not at home, and they're violating a lot of the laws that have been written. So there's been a lot of legal action over that.
I found this. And again, it's just a bit of information that I found. I have no idea whether it's accurate or not. I think I found it on the Dominion page. Virginia Code 56-49.01 allows natural gas companies to survey private property.
Oh, let me comment on that. The last 2 years, we have tried to have that bill repealed in the General Assembly. It's called the Wagner Act is what we call it, because Senator Wagner from Virginia Beach, in conjunction with Dominion Power, wrote the bill and had it passed in 2004, and it gives the right to surveyors to come onto properties, to survey properties, even when the property owner does not want them on their properties. So 2 years in a row, we went to Virginia, we had a huge lobbying effort. We didn't get one vote, not one vote. They tabled our bills and would not allow the people of the state to be heard.
And I'd like to speak to this, Rick. A couple of things. Everyone in Bath County, again, being a microphone, the aspect of eminent domain that's being used by Dominion is a bit unusual, because Dominion, eminent domain has mostly been applied to government bodies taking easements for roads, you know, things that everybody will benefit from. People in Bath County would understand that if that were the case with that Atlantic Coast Pipeline and the pipeline coming through their property, if that was what was happening. But Dominion is a shareholder-driven, profit-driven entity that really sort of straddles both a utility and a corporation. So it's a different entity. And were it the first case, I think Bath County people would be much more, you know, accepting, or maybe try to figure out a way that they could work with it. But given that it's really profit-driven, it doesn't seem like it fits under the original intention of eminent domain when it was first created.
So it's different eminent domain for a road or for a utility tower, mm-hmm. right? A utility tower is okay, but a pipeline is not.
Yeah, there's a conflict of interest here. We have learned that Dominion Power or any pipeline developer has a ceiling on a profit margin of 14%. The average return is in the range of 10%, but that's still very high. You're not going to get that from a bank or any other agency, lending agency.
Not a legal one anyway.
Not a legal one, exactly. So that's exorbitant. And so they can't really resist the temptation to obtain the profits, and it is shareholder-driven. So that's a major...
Gosh, I wonder who's on the board.
Well, we have actually Bob Blue and Tom Farrell. Bob Blue is the son of a resident of Albemarle County, whom I happen to know.
I'm sure they're very nice people with very large houses and very fancy gates that keep people out.
Yeah.
This is 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Kirk Bowers from the Sierra Club, the Virginia chapter, Barbara Adams, who's an environmental activist. We've been talking about eminent domain, and Barbara, you have your group, Troubled Waters, representing some folks from Bath County, both photography, video, and audio. And I can see that you have this clip that you want to play. Now, for listeners, I'm going to close my eyes and hope for the best. This is not plugged into the board. We're going to play this through the microphone and be assured that the high quality that that Barbara has with her, touched up against the high quality of WPVC, ruined by my skills at the board, won't, you know, terminate your hearing. So
it'll be grand. It'll be grand.
Are you ready? So tell me what the clip is.
It's Chris Singleton, who is a Commonwealth attorney with Bath County, and as a lawyer, longtime lawyer, he's been there in that and has a law firm forever, and it lives in Bath County. He has a really very unique and pointed perspective on this. So I'd like to share what he says.
And he's talking about eminent domain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here we go.
Resident of Bath County, or resident of Virginia, or resident of the United States, I don't see any justifiable reason for this pipeline, as it is, in my opinion, directly contrary to the Fifth Amendment of the United States, which very clearly provides that private land or private property cannot be taken for a public public purpose without fair compensation. And in my opinion, you don't even get to the compensation issue because there's no logical way that a pipeline benefiting for-profit corporations such as Dominion could be taking private land for a public purpose, since the gas that would be going through that pipeline is to benefit the Dominion and its shareholders. So
that wasn't perfect, but you get the point. He speaks very passionately and very clearly from his longtime legal perspective that this pipeline issue and the use of eminent domain is something that not just those counties that are affected need to know about, but all Virginians, because if it can happen there, the misapplication of this original intention of eminent domain can happen anywhere.
And there's more. May I add to that? Actually, this would be the largest taking in private property in the history of Virginia since the interstates were introduced into the state years ago. But we have also found that there's a violation and conflict of interest, a possible serious antitrust violation that we're finding. Several weeks ago, we filed a complaint to the Federal Trade Commission charging Dominion with antitrust violations. Because they are a public monopoly with no competition, they can pass on the rates and their profit margins to the customers, to the ratepayers, without competition. But what we found is that there are cheaper options out there. For example, down in the Brunswick area, the Transco line could be used to provide the gas from the Transco line is a third as cheap as what they would provide from the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. So they're locking out the rates, and the consumer is not going to get the benefits of cheaper costs. Plus, they also benefit from constructing the Greensville and Brunswick gas plants. And again, they are collecting the profits from those two operations in addition to what they're getting from the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. And neither one is competitive. So we shall see what happens with that. But that could put a big dent in their plans if the Federal Trade Commission agrees with us that there's a possible Sherman Act violation.
Well, I'm curious, so how this is going to work out, because the Forest Service has rejected the pipeline. Forest Service rejects Atlantic Coast Pipeline because of its destructive path through the national forest. I can't even find the rest of my notes. But there are multiple federal and state organizations that have said, bad idea, don't build this pipeline. You have local organizations, whether they're county or city groups, saying, don't build the pipeline. What's the FERC stand for?
Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Which is?
The federal organization that reviews and approves any of the applications for pipelines that come through in any part of the country.
And they are still thinking about it, correct?
They're in the review process right now. It's called the pre-filing stage. Actually, they did their application last year, so FERC is coordinating the reviews from EPA and Fish and Wildlife, Corps of Engineers, and other federal agencies currently.
But what they're getting seem to be various organizations, however large or small, saying, we say no. Our feedback is don't do it.
Forest Service is very, very concerned about their property and trying to preserve the national forest, because that's public ground that everybody uses, and they don't want people. It's not in their land use plan.
And the U.S. Wildlife also said no, correct? Because
yes,
I think I did a show back in January with the Southern Environmental Law Center, and we talked about this for a while.
Yes, they moved the pipeline out of the Dismal Swamp down near Chesapeake because the Fish and Wildlife said they wouldn't allow it.
Right.
EPA has come out and said that their greenhouse gas analysis is not included in the submittals, and that's an important part because we are now looking at greenhouse gas emissions as a criteria because of the Paris Climate Accord. So there's a lot of different factors that are coming into play here. I want to go into the Climate Accord just for a minute, because it's going to change the regulations.
Not too long, because that'll take – talk about a dismal swamp.
Yes.
That's where that'll take us.
What's going to happen, though, is that these pipelines are not going to be needed. They're going to be obsolete in 5 to 10 years because of renewable energy.
America has never followed a global accord ever.
Well, it's time we did that. I think we're already moving towards that direction because actually the market forces are moving us there, whether we like it or not. And we are seeing a lot of the other states, particularly out west and in the northeast to a certain extent, renewables are coming on very quickly, and they're much cheaper than natural gas now, or coal. They're way cheaper than coal. So it's in our benefit to go to natural gas, and that's our option, and we have to go that route because climate change is real and it is happening very fast.
I'd like to bring up another point from a more personal perspective of what we've learned from the Bath County residents. And that is the FERC process this federal regulatory agency, is really convoluted. If you go on their website, if you try to figure out how to make comments, it's incredibly complicated. The average person who maybe is computer savvy is challenged. So anybody who's not computer savvy is clearly very challenged. This doesn't feel like a level playing field. And I think there are good questions to ask why that's the case. And people in Bath have had to work incredibly hard, do a lot of extra work to make sure that all the residents who feel really challenged by this and want to have a voice get to have that voice, at least for the intent of this sharing with FERC. Ann Bryant in Burnsville in Bath has spent an exhaustive amount of time meeting with people and helping them go through that process just so they can make their voice heard. And so there are good questions. Why is FERC so difficult to approach or work with? They have a history of rubber stamping these pipelines. Why is that? What is the purpose for allowing all these pipelines when it's clearly these natural gas wells are tapped out? That's why they're using the hydraulic fracking method. They're getting the last dregs of this. It's a dying market, and these pipelines are going to be built. How long will that industry really last? And what will happen to those pipelines in the years to come? And who's going to be paying for that are all big questions.
11:37 here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, talking about the Atlantic Coast Pipeline with Barbara Adams. She's an environmental activist representing Troubled Waters, Voices of Bath County.
Voices from Bath. Uh-huh.
Voices from Bath. You can go to their new Facebook page.
Troubled Water, Voices from Bath.
They're going to have,
we have our trailer up. We have a lot of photos. Please like us, share us. Comment. We'd love to have your input and look for more.
Is there a prize if you're like the 1,000th person who likes you or shares you?
Oh, good idea. Maybe a trip to Bath.
Ooh, there you go. We also have Kirk Bowers here from the Sierra Club, the Virginia chapter. He's the pipeline specialist who helped come be with us today. So, Barbara, you said that the federal FERC typically rubber stamps these projects. I'm curious as to what is the normal length of time to get a pipeline stamped? How far along are we in this, the Atlantic Coast project, and how far along before we typically or before we expect to have our first answer? Because I'm sure that when we get that, the other side will ask for a redo.
I'm going to pass that on to Kirk.
Well, currently, because of the realignment of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, it slipped in the schedule by 6 or 7 months. So we're looking at the draft environmental impact statement review coming out in December or January of next year, which pushes the approval process back till probably next fall, possibly, if it's approved and if they can get through the Federal Trade Commission and all the other barriers that we're throwing up in their way. So that's the process right now. The Mountain Valley Pipeline, actually, their draft environmental impact statement comes up in September, and that's the trigger that begins a lot of activity. Review comments are submitted. We review their comments and critique them. Let's go to FERC for one moment, though. FERC has not been a good partner in the process. And in fact, the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation told FERC they were concerned because they were not notified. And they're one of the participating agencies. So FERC forgot to notify one of their major partners. And these are the kinds of problems we've had all along. So right now, the ACHP is real unhappy. And as we said earlier, the Forest Service doesn't really want to cooperate. And I've talked to them a number of times about this. They really don't like having pipelines running through their forest. And those are recreation areas that we all use. I'd like to mention another aspect of this I haven't gotten to yet. It's the economic impacts. If we could.
You know what? We're going to take a break, and we're going to get to that when we come back. How about that?
That would be fun.
All right. It is 11:40 here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, talking about the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. We'll be right back. And thank you for being with us today with our guests, Kirk Bowers and Barbara Adams, as we talk about the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Plenty to talk about, from economics and politics and numbers to specific individuals, which we're going to get at as we continue on for the last third of the program. Kirk, you wanted to do economics.
We've done economic impact studies in response to the claims by Dominion and EQT that the pipelines reap benefits for Virginia, where in fact they don't. There's no benefits. These pipelines are just passing through the counties, and there's no taps on these lines. It's just to
of
get.
Of course, they build jobs. They bring jobs, 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 jobs.
Well, there's only 38 jobs, actually. That's all that's going to be permanent after the ACP is built.
Now, wait a minute. If you're going to build a pipeline that's 42 inches in diameter, requiring excavation of an 8 to 12 foot deep trench, bulldozing a 125 foot wide construction corridor, somebody's got to have a job.
Well, we're not sure who yet who's going to have those jobs. It's going to have to be Superman, probably, to get across these mountains, because that's about all.
125-foot-wide
let me tell you
construction
about
corridor.
The construction crew.
What is that? That's wider than Interstate 81,
that's correct?
Yep. And so, for this area, wider than Interstate 64.
Yes. So they bring in specialty crews from Oklahoma and Texas who are, you know, flatlanders. They're used to building pipelines in flat terrain. Nobody's built a 42-inch pipeline across the terrain that we have. Nobody. There's no precedent, period. So what happens is you bring in these crews from out of state. They do the work, you know, they are in your communities for a while they're doing the work, and then they pass on through. And so the local people get maybe jobs as flagmen or something like that, but that's about it. And then when they're done, there's 38 jobs, period. That's it. Now, if you built, you know, just one solar farm, which are being built, for example, in Buckingham County, you're almost halfway to that 38 jobs, 19 jobs just from a solar farm. The solar energy and the wind energy industry are creating a lot of jobs. So that's what we are comparing it to.
Barbara?
Yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about the building process as it relates to folks that live in Bath County. As Kirk mentioned, this is a very mountainous area, and they have sort of a unique mountainous terrain, which we'd like to talk about in a second. But Bath County, of all the counties in Virginia, has not one traffic light. The roads are small mountainous roads. It's really a tourist-based economy for that county. To bring the hundreds of huge trucks that would have to not just have access to the site, they'd have to build access roads to get to where this proposed pipeline would be cut through and entrenched. But they'd have to also travel these roads that are really not meant for regular traffic. I mean, they're just barely wide enough for two cars. And it's beautiful. And that's why people want to maintain that sense of beauty. And they'd have to really invest some money into wider roads, and that has its whole different effect. So when we talk about the pipeline and negative effects, it's not just the pipeline, but everything that goes with the pipeline. So access to building this 120-some wide scar across two or three mountain ranges and across valleys, two important rivers, is a tremendous feat for any company to take on, especially a company that doesn't seem to really understand what happened with slopes when you dig a trench and there's erosion and sedimentation.
Oh, they understand. I believe that. I believe they understand. It just doesn't. They just don't care. It doesn't matter to them compared to their yearly fiscal statement. That's just my personal opinion here at 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. But that's my personal thought on it.
We did studies for 12 counties to show the impacts. I didn't get to the conclusion of my report on the economics. But what it found for the Mountain Valley Pipeline was that over the life cycle of the project, it would cost the communities in eight counties in the range of $8 to $9 billion. That's with a B, $1 billion. That's the impact on the counties due to the loss in property values, the loss of ecosystem services, and other conditions that we found in our studies. And they were done by a reputable economist. And they're out there for everybody to see.
At sierraclub.org/Virginia?
Yes, that's correct. They're on our website.
Barbara, you got. We are talking with Barbara Adams and Kirk Bowers. Kirk from Sierra Club, Virginia chapter. Barbara is an environmental activist with Troubled Waters, Voices of Bath. You can find them. They have a new Facebook page. You can go check it out as they're working on their project of photography, video, and some audio stills. You have more audio clips you want to play for us?
Yeah, I'd like to bring us back to talking about the relationship between personal citizens and elected officials, which we sort of talked about.
Ooh, good, because I want to do some little politics before we finish up. So let's do some of that. I'd love to hear another clip that you have.
Okay.
So what are we going to listen to?
We're listening to John Cowden. He and his family have a farm. They started out as a farm. Now they've transitioned to tourist and hospitality. They have Fort Lewis Lodge. This pipeline was originally proposed to go right down that driveway. It's now been rerouted. That's the other thing that I don't think we talked about. How long this will take is that Dominion keeps rerouting this pipeline. And ideally, anyone who is in the line of the new rerouting path would have the right to comment, to make comment to Dominion, to make comment to FERC. But it's not set yet, so it keeps changing. How's that going to work for people to make comment? Anyway, so going back to people's relationship and how they feel about elected officials, I'd like to share what John has to say.
I will say from the beginning, I was pretty naive, really, of how our government worked. And now I'm very disappointed. There's agencies that I thought I had faith in, and one of those was Department of Environmental Quality. My understanding is now that they don't have the resources to monitor this construction project, number one. And number two, I don't think that our governor has the will to enforce the environmental safeguards that should be in place.
So many times in our process of interviewing, we've interviewed about 20 different folks in Bath County. We've heard again and again that people feel abandoned by their elected officials and are really infuriated by the FERC federal process that puts the burden on all of these hardworking people to come up with the data and the understanding and explanations about what would really happen should they build a pipeline through Bath County. So it's kind of a skewed system. Dominion has deep pockets. They have people that can do this, but the burden seems to be on regular citizens to really come up with all of the documentation as to why and how this would be a problem. So this show is a good name for this, Wake Up Call.
Yeah, I need to say something about the politics, too. It's really bad, and it's been eye-opening to find out some of the things that I have had to see. And one of those things is that Dominion is the largest contributor of money to the political candidates in the state. They give more money than the Democratic and the Republican parties. So really, they are the third party, the third political party in the state. We call it the Old Dominion Party. But that's very disturbing that they could have so much influence over our politicians that the people in the state, we just don't have access like they do. And we're not getting the help that we need, particularly from our state and our federal legislators. And I know I've been trying really hard. We've been meeting with these state and federal legislators, and they're just not helping us out. They're not helping the people of the state out, and they seem to be beholden to Dominion. And that's another part of the campaign that's very obvious.
Well, if you're getting a lot of money, doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, you're very happy, and that'll immunize yourself from contrary belief. I'm curious, so at least in this area, you have Representative Hurt represents Nelson County, Republican, and we have Governor McAuliffe, Democrat. I'm curious, I know that Governor McAuliffe has been pro-pipeline, correct?
Yes, that's true.
And I think I've read comments from Representative Hurt that I couldn't determine which way on the pipeline he was. It seemed to be who he was talking to. He was agreeing with whoever was asking the question.
Hurt and Goodlatte and Griffith wrote a letter to FERC asking for a couple things, but it wasn't very strong. It didn't really force FERC to do anything. FERC, again, is a rogue agency. They've only approved two pipeline projects in 20 years, and we can't count on them to do anything. So that's why we
did. You mean fail to approve? You said they only approved two
pipelines. They only disapproved.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Failed to approve two pipelines.
Okay. So, you know, they have a very bad record. We can't get our legislators to help us out, and it's very frustrating.
I think one of the points to come away from this is that if our legislators that are directly affected are senators and Bob Goodlatte, who is responsible for a lot of the counties being affected, would just demand that FERC would use their influence and ask FERC to make sure that Dominion does all that's necessary for the environmental impacts, really dot the I's, cross the T's, this pipeline wouldn't be approved. There's way too many issues and negative consequences, and that's all it would have to take is for the elected officials to really do their job and make sure that FERC is doing their job. I have a happy story I want to interject, that the Bath County supervisors were originally for the pipeline, and an example of grassroots democratic process working, having all the people in Bath come to the meetings, express themselves. The Bath County supervisors reversed their position. They have written a letter to FERC with teeth that said that they do not want the pipeline. They're opposed to it. So I want to inject that's where it's worked. And on the surface, we sort of see this as a political issue, but really, I think there are deeper issues, and this is why this project, Troubled Water, is so important, about caring and conserving the natural environment, and not just for now, but for future generations, and preserving the right of individuals to seek the best ways to steward the land that's in their care. There can be points argued, and there can be political stances made, but at the root of it, it's about water purity, access to good, clean water, which I think everyone, every Virginian can relate to.
Yeah, my feeling is that when our mountains are sacred areas, and they are areas where we have people, we have what's called cultural attachment in some of these mountainous areas. Families have lived there for hundreds of years in certain cases. I know in one case in Augusta, we have one family that has four properties crossed, and they've been there for over 150 years. So it gets pretty personal with the land taking. And then, you know, what we see is that in 2030, the renewables will be the dominant force of power generation in this country. So if you build these pipelines, we're facing what's called stranded assets, and the ratepayers get to pay for pipelines that we don't need. And so far, they haven't proven that we need these pipelines.
I'm curious, you know, we keep talking about building a new pipeline, or building it through a mountainous area and actually having to digging up the trench, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And some of the, what I call doing my homework for the show was, isn't there existing infrastructure, the Columbia Gas Pipeline? Why can't that be used? Or why can't we use the existing utility corridors, which I'm assuming is where the towers already exist? Well, why are those not being used by Dominion now that they've gotten an excessive or at least strong amount of feedback?
Yeah, a lot of the power line transmission lines are geographically, the terrain is too difficult. They can span from ridge to ridge with power lines and go up and down steep mountains. But with pipelines, you have to dig into the mountains. We can't span the hollows. So that's the primary reason. We can't use highways because, we have safety issues. Pipelines blow up.
Key safety issue.
Yes.
We haven't even gotten to that part yet.
Right. We haven't gotten to the safety issues, but that's a serious issue, too. And there's been a lot of pipeline blow-ups. And we just had one in Pennsylvania 2 months ago. It had a huge hole in the ground, and several houses were missing.
Why can't they use an existing pipeline? Why can't they use this Columbia Gas Pipeline?
It doesn't go
exactly where they want it to go. It's not the line drawn from A to B that they want, but
because if they do that, they won't get the profit.
They have to pay the percentage, the commission for pipeline usage to Columbia Gas.
Yes, they do. It's not their line, so they don't get the 14% rate of return.
And right now, there's funding for building pipelines. It's a booming industry for the short term, and that's it's short term thinking at its worst. And so there's money there to support these pipelines being built. So the people are taking advantage of getting the funding that's there.
All right, Barbara, do you have a clip that'll take us out?
I do. And just before, I want to mention that we are really working with Charlottesville people to bring presence to on this Troubled Water Voices from Bath project, the Ixt Art Park. We are looking at a date in September, so we hope you go on the Facebook page, listen to your show. We'll let you know when we are going to have the photo exhibit and a viewing of the newly finished video. I have a clip from Ann Bryant. We've talked to each of our
share this news with the microphone.
Okay. With each of the interviewees about what would they tell people far from Bath about why people should be concerned.
The actions that are going on here. Yeah. In this area, we're at the headwaters for a number of rivers that go to Richmond. So to me, everybody in Richmond ought to be paying attention if you care about water quality. But more than that, it's a wake-up call. It's an awareness for us that what matters in one place has value even beyond that area.
I think she kind of says it all.
And she says it in the right way. It is a wake-up call.
Yes, thank you.
Again, we'll put the show up for podcast. If for some reason you weren't here listening for the entire hour, fascinating conversation. We didn't get to everything that we could have. Please go to the Facebook page, Troubled Waters, Voices of Bath.
Voices from Bath. And I'd like to shout out to Sam Wright and Julian McBain, our two other workers on this project.
And to all the others who helped find and bring Kirk to the show today. There were many other folks who were spreading the word. We need a second guest to join Barbara so that I don't traumatize her alone for an hour. And Kirk Bauer's here with us from the Virginia chapter of the Sierra Club.
Well, thanks for having me, Rick. It's a very complex and deep subject, and there's a lot of different facets to it.
Yes, thanks for having us. I would love to come back if you should want us to share more.
I'm sure there's material always changing, and we'll be talking about it in the future. Thank you both.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.